I certainly desire an interest in your prayers this morning. It's not my purpose to promote myself in any manner. I certainly want to be hid behind the cross. The verse that's on the desk up here is St. John 12 and 21. It says, "Sir, we would see Jesus." That's what I want us to see today. I'd like for us to think about faith as a dynamic thing. There is the possibility of looking at faith as a static thing, and that's, I'm not talking about something that's dead, I'm just talking about maybe a belief system or something of that nature. But I'm thinking this morning about dynamic faith. A dynamic in my mind, if you'll allow me to define that from the way I think, is something in motion. Something that is moving. Something that is put into practice. And I trust you'll bear with me if I use situations from my everyday environment, but balancing, there's two methods of balancing, static and dynamic. And to balance anything dynamically, it has to be moving, it has to be spinning. There's motion involved. It's not setting still. You can balance something that will not run smoothly just on a nail maybe, or a little balancing beam of some sort. But it takes something in motion to be able to dynamically balance. It's a more precise way of balancing. Faith is something that I find is more than just a theory. It's more than something that's just written about or talked about. It's something that we have to know how to put it into practice. I'm not going to necessarily try to define faith, but with the help of the Lord, I'd like for us to maybe get a little better grasp of what's involved in putting faith into practice dynamically. I'd like for us to look in 2 Timothy, the first chapter, I believe it is, in the 12th verse. This verse has come to me since we've been here this morning. Says, "For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." I'm sure that we could get a lot of maybe deeper thoughts that we're going to try to get into on this verse this morning, but the portion, he says, "I am not ashamed, for I know." That implies confidence in my mind. I know whom I have believed. I know, I'm convinced, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Whatever, maybe the against that day is something specific in your mind, but whatever the future holds, whatever that future time may be, whether it's a particular day, whether it's an end of something, but whatever the future might hold, he says, "I believe and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep, he's able to secure, he's able to take care of whatever I've committed to him, and I'm relying on him for what the future holds." That's the concept I want us to try to get a hold of this morning about faith. In my mind, when I hear of people that has accomplished extraordinary feats in our natural world, I'm impressed. It gets my attention. Someone that sets a new record, whether it's physical exertion or whether someone does something that someone else has never done before, that attracts my attention. But there had to be, that individual had to believe in what they were doing. They had to apply themselves to achieve that type of thing. It's not, it wasn't an accident. Faith in action. I'd like for us to look to the chapter in Hebrews, in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, and like to bring out some points that probably have been expounded better than I could possibly ever do, and probably more times than I know about. But I'd like for us to begin noticing the 6th verse. It says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." There has to be an element of dynamic faith for us to be able to please the Lord. Pleasing the Lord is something that requires everyday living. There's a lot of time that elapses between one camp meeting and another camp meeting. There's a lot of dishes to wash. There's a lot of paychecks to earn. There's a lot of discipline that we have to apply maybe in our families. There's a lot of just mundane, everyday tasks. And it says here, without faith, it's impossible to please God. You folks that are here see me for a very brief period of time in the year. And some of you, maybe I see during the year or at a work day at the campgrounds or something like that. But for the most part, you don't have much personal information about me. And there's a whole lot of living that I have to do. And it's going to be impossible for me or any of you to live successfully for God if we don't have a dynamic faith. If we don't really believe that God is a supreme God, if we don't really believe that I am going to have to stand before Him, that I am going to be held accountable for my attitudes, my actions, and my deeds, if we don't really believe that, I'm not going to be able to do it. Our education system for quite some time has promoted that our children believe in themselves and a you can do it philosophy. And all we have to do is look around our United States has a tremendous amount of patents, tremendous amount of innovation that has happened down through the years. Other countries have too. I don't want to diminish that. But there has been a push for people to apply themselves in our nation for a long, long time. But in my generation, there has been a real push of you can do it. Believe in yourself. And it's more than just establishing a good level of self-confidence. It's at the exclusion of God. That's what we contend with. It's at the exclusion of a belief system and faith in God. Our nation has an education system, and I'm not just, that's not my focal point this morning. I don't want you, but that is a philosophy we have to contend with. That's reality. You can do it. You can be whatever you want to be. Get an education, apply yourself, and make a mark for yourself in life. And the whole concept revolves around you believing. And there's a lot of people that succeed. That's the reality. There's a lot of people that succeed. And you know, you're going to have to believe God for who He is. You're going to have faith in God to live successfully in this old world. You're going to have to contend with that element of disbelief in God and an unwillingness to accept God as the supreme being. we notice now in the first verse of this chapter, it says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Before we make too many comments on that, I want us to think over here in verse in 13th chapter, I believe it is, of 1 Corinthians, down towards the end of the chapter, 12th verse. It says, "For now we see through a glass darkly." That's all I want to read. "For now we see through a glass darkly." You know, it seems like, especially as I've become an adult and have more responsibilities and all that, it seems like there's a lot of things that's presented to me obscurely and in a manner that looks confusing, and it makes me want to be concerned and apprehensive about what's coming next and what's the next step I'm supposed to do. Sometimes maybe this is a flashback, sometimes we want somebody to tell us what's going to happen next or what am I supposed to do next. And sometimes we can look to someone else that has more experience and more of life behind them, and they can give us some good advice. But ultimately, it's going to fall on me. I'm going to have to step out. I think of our young people here, and I know that some of you are at that age of choosing companions. That happens all, you know, that's just a continual thing that happens as our young people mature. And you know, somewhere along the line, you're going to have to stick your neck out a little bit to find out if that other person has any kind of attraction towards you. You're going to have the courage. You're going to have to believe that you might have a chance and stick your neck out. I've been there. And I was very apprehensive at that time for several reasons. One of them was I didn't want to do something that would be displeasing to the Lord. But anyway, there was a desire there. We heard about desire already in this meeting. You're going to have that desire. But beyond that, beyond just a desire, we're going to have to start putting it in action. There's going to be some things we don't fully understand. We're not going to know the end result completely. My wife and I have had 20 years of experiences together, plus now. And we didn't know what all life was going to hold for us this past 21 years. But it's held a lot. There's been a lot of things that we have come up against that we didn't know the answer to. And we have questioned ourselves before, during, and after. Did we do the right thing? Did we step out in the right place? Did we take advantage of the power of God to the full extent? Did we short-circuit something? Did we not trust God enough? I'm talking about many different aspects of our life. Did we rely too much on our own understanding? Did we withdraw and not attempt to follow what we thought maybe the Lord was wanting us to do and maybe suffered in our spirit and our soul? But it says here, the first verse, "The faith is now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Well, according to a definition I have, it says substance in a general sense being something existing by itself, which that which really is or exists, equally applicable to matter or spirit. Well, this definition even implies that it could be something intangible. But most generally, we think of substance as something that I can pick up, something that I can touch, something that I can feel, something that I can see with my eyes, something that someone else can relate to. But this verse says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It hasn't happened yet. Faith is what is out in the future. Faith is what holds the consistency of the future. Faith is what is our hook that we're hanging on. Faith is the thing that we're stepping out on. Faith is the thing that we're relying on to work the future out. Those things that look fuzzy. Those things that's not clear to us. Those things that are looking, that look apprehensive to us. There's one thing that my father could do with confidence that I have never mastered. Probably a lot of things, but one thing in particular. I was telling someone at one of the work days, if my dad could stand on a board that was 6 inches off the ground and he realized it would hold him up, it didn't matter how high it was off the ground, he'd step out on it. And I'm not quite that way. I can step on a 2x4 or something and maybe walk the 2x4 when it's just 6 inches off of the floor and feel relatively safe. But if you put a 2x4 between a couple of these two-story cabins out here, don't ask me to walk it. Because I won't. It's going to have more than that. Even though it held me up down close to the ground, it's still apprehensive to me. And faith, there's people that can't see it. There's people that can't see what you see. That's why it's so important for, the Scripture says, without faith we can't please God. We are going to have an undiminished, clear perception of God. And we're going to have the realization ingrained deep down in our mind, in our heart, of what He is, what He can do, what He has done, and what He will do. If we do not have that, it's going to be awful hard to have dynamic, enabling faith. I believe that faith will enable you and I. I believe that. It says here that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The evidence. Evidence is something that we look for maybe after something has happened. Evidence is what people collect after a crime. And evidence is something that people dig through to try to discover what happened. And it says here that faith is the substance and it's the evidence of things not seen. Those things that seem to be, that I'm looking through darkly. I wonder what the future holds. Young people may say, well, I wonder who my spouse is going to be. I wonder who my companion is going to be. I wonder what life holds for me. And maybe some of us older ones, we wonder how long the Lord's going to allow me to be here. I wonder how long that I'll be able to come back to Monarch. I'm glad you're here. You older saints are a real encouragement to me.
Amen.
For several reasons. But one is, I know that you represent the enablement of faith of days gone by.
Amen. Yeah, that's right.
I know that there are those here that, given the opportunity, could express to us the fears, the apprehensions, the things they had to grapple with before they stepped out on that element of faith. And maybe others around was saying, hold on just a minute. That thing won't hold you up. There's been several times that I've been apprehensive about what my father would step out on when I was a young boy. He was pretty apt at climbing trees and cutting limbs off and balancing himself up there. And it looked scary to me. And I was a little guy. But there may be people that would... There's going to be people. There's going to be family members. There's going to be neighbors and friends that's going to say, I don't understand. Why are you doing this? when I made, my wife and I made the decisions to make a move about 3 years ago, people didn't understand. Why? What are you doing this for? Have you got a job over there? No, not yet. They just didn't understand. They didn't see it. And it looked like I was looking through a glass darkly as well to me. And I know that you older ones have been there. And you that are my age too. I know you've been there. It says in the second verse, "For by it the elders obtained a good report." The elders obtained a good report. The older saints that are here today, I know that your reputation is something that, some of it that makes your reputation so valuable to me is the report you can give of what God done in your life. The deliverance He's given you. We've already heard it this morning, the miracles, even modern miracles. I thank the Lord for that. But it can be kind of scary. It can be real scary to the human mind, to the human understanding. One of the elements that causes it to be so apprehensive is the knowledge that mankind has accumulated. And the reasoning of you're making a mistake and it'd be better to do something different. Third verse says, "Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." You know, it takes faith in action to believe and to accept that God created the universe and the world that we know. That's been under attack for a long time. Oh, well over 100 years now. In written things. But even before that, why do you think it was written in the Scripture? He says, "Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." You go reading in some of the commentaries that were probably written in contemporary times to the Darwinism that came out, and they directly apply this Scripture to that current philosophy of disbelief in God. We're going to have faith to believe that. And that's one of those elements. It's going to be hard to take the next step in faith if we don't fully believe and comprehend that God created the world not out of things that were already here, but out of nothing.
That's right.
My understanding is mankind was the only ones that was formed out of the dust of the ground. Everything else, nobody ever seen God do this.
That's right.
When Adam got here, everything was in place.
Amen.
It takes faith for all of us to believe that. I want to try, with the help of the Lord, to impress on us the pressure that has been on those in the past, and yet how they stepped out on faith. And I want to try to do that for the purpose of us realizing that the pressure to deny faith and to not step out in faith has been real since the beginning of time. It's been real all down through mankind's time here on the earth. It says, "By faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he being dead, yet speaketh." He's already gone now, but his reputation, his testimony lives on. It's still with us today. By faith, it says, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. Why did it take faith? It seems to me that maybe this is the first time it was done. You know, the first time that you do something, you have to believe that it's going to happen before you want to step out. There's many times in life that there's really no opportunity or space for just experimenting. Faith is not experimenting. Faith is not just being hard-headed or a strong personality. Yeah. If that's what we're relying on, I believe we're going to be disappointed. I believe we're going to feel let down. I believe we're not going to be able to see clearly. All we're going to see is see darkly. I spent almost 20 years of my life in the state of Oklahoma, and when I first moved there from this state, Missouri has some reputation as well as any other state. And when I moved there, my co-workers labeled me pretty quick hard-headed Missourian. That's what they labeled me. And they called me that to my face, especially when they didn't like what I was doing. But that's not faith, all right? That's not dynamic faith. For me to just set my teeth and dig in my heels and say I'm not moving, that may be a manifestation of faith. Some people may perceive it as that when we say I'm not. But that is not the core element. That's not the core element. The core element is this vision in our mind, the perception, the belief that God is in control. He really did make this planet. He really did create you and I. He really did put a desire in mankind to worship God. He really did make all of the things that we're enjoying today, including the weather. The weather has been fantastic. But if we don't have our mind on the element that God provided this, that God is the one that's in control, if we're just digging our heels in and saying, I'm not moving because I'm just not, that's not faith. It takes strength of personality maybe, but more than that, when it gets right down to push coming to shove, if you don't really have faith and confidence, your determinations will fail you. Your determinations will fail you. It says, by faith Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. The next verse says, by faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was found, and was not found, because God had translated him. The implication in my mind here is that Enoch was a man that had so much confidence in God, so much trust, so much in immersion in God, that God just took him, it says. That's what the Scripture says. He wasn't even required to go through death. The next verse we've already read says, but without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen, as yet, hadn't happened yet. Remember what faith does? This thing hasn't happened yet. It's the evidence of things not seen. It's the consistency, it's the substance of what's out there that I can't get my hands on. He says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. The same element of faith that saved Noah has got to be in our hearts for us to be saved today. The element of faith that enables us to be able to live righteously and holy and acceptable before God in our present world is the same thing that enabled Noah to step out and build a boat on dry land. There's a lot of tangible things in our everyday Christian experience. There really is. But if it's only tangible things and I don't have it deep seated down in my heart, it's going to fail me. It's going to fail me. If Noah thought it'd be kind of cool to build a boat and see if it would float, he'd have had to haul it to water. But God told him to build a boat. He says you're going to have to build a boat because if you don't, you're going to be lost. And if you don't really believe in salvation, you're going to be lost today. But Noah built this boat. It was a big thing. And you could touch it with your hands. You could feel, it was a reality in people's minds all around the neighborhood. And it took him a long time to build it. If my understanding is correct, he built on it approximately 100 years. And if you do something like that that's visible to everybody, you're going to get questions. Why are you doing this? What is the purpose? I believe you're making a mistake. All those things, I'm sure, was told Noah. And even it's a challenge to you and I today to think of the time period Noah was working on that ark and to think of the space of time that you and I have to live on this earth. Very few of us live to be 100 years old. And Noah worked on a boat for 100 years before he seen it put in action. And you and I are going to have the faith to believe God and believe that eternity is real.
Yeah, that's right.
And we're going to have to work on our boat, if you will, all our life.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
And at the end of that time period, when it was finished, when the boat was completed, he'd fulfilled God's plan for it. God come through with His promise, didn't He? There was a flood. There was people that had said, "You're crazy. There's no need in that." Yeah, never rained before. I never seen anybody do something like that. I've told this before too, but at some time in my occupation, I've had some of my coworkers talk to me, and he said, "I go fishing and hunting and stuff like that." And he said, "Your hobby is going to church." I got news for him. It has to be more than that. It has to be more than that. We got to have a faith and a confidence that enables me to live an everyday life before the Lord. The things that other people see that's tangible, that's a reality, that makes them scratch their head. And when you pull up stakes and do something for the Lord, people's going to look on and say, "That's the craziest thing I ever heard of." After I told them I was leaving and moving and leaving out of the community, some of my coworkers said, "Would you stay if we started coming to church up there?" You know, may the Lord help us. They didn't understand. Oh, they could just see through a glass darkly. They didn't understand what it's like to try to respond to the Holy Spirit. You're going to have faith. But faith is more than just, "Yeah, I believe." It's more than that. Faith is going to enable me to step out on something that looks shaky. It looks like it's not there. We've already heard about this in the meeting, but when those children of Israel come up to the flooded Jordan River, the Lord didn't work on it for a week or 10 days and make a highway for them. They had to walk right up to the edge and look like they was going to put their foot in the water. And the water stood up. And He walked across on dry land. I wonder how many times we're faced in life with situations that looks like a flooded river. No way across. And if I do get across, I'm going to be wet. I'm going to be muddy. I'm going to have the smell of fish on me and maybe get hit by a log that's floating down a flooded river. That happens. And we walk. Faith is what enables me. It's what enables you. It's the substance that helps me to go right up to the edge of that thing. And it looks like to everybody around, I'm fixing to get my foot wet. And when we put our foot down, it's on dry land. And the Lord made a way right through that thing. That's what the enablement of faith will do for us. Oh, this whole chapter is full of this kind of story. Yeah. The next verse says, "By faith Abraham was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and went out, not knowing whither he went." People's going to look on the path you're choosing. The path you're choosing to trust God for your body. The path you're choosing to follow in a temporal occupation. You won't be able to support a family. It's foolish to throw away a good mind like that. It's foolish not to apply yourself to do this. And I'm not advocating quitting school. I believe in learning all that we can. But the others that's coming along, and when you and I make decisions to trust the Lord in an aspect of our life, they look on and they say, "I don't understand. It looks like a waste. Why don't you listen? What are you doing here?" Abraham, he was going someplace. He didn't even know where he was going. I knew where I was going when I moved to Webb City, but it was still apprehensive. You know, Abraham didn't have a clue where he was going. May the Lord help us. Sometimes I'll tell you what's comfortable for me. I'll tell you what would have been more comfortable to me in our transition, our change, if I had all the temporal things sorted out before I ever made a mention about the possibility of us moving. That's the way I like to work. But that's not what happened. I felt like God wanted me to step out on a little bit of shaky stuff there. And when we did, the Lord made a dry place for us to put our feet. He really did. And He'll do that for you. Sometimes, for clarification, I'll tell you that there's a lot of ideals we have. We had some ideals. My wife had some ideals. My children had some ideals. I had some for the place we would live. And I don't know if any of them were completely met. All right? The way we had it in our mind. My wife had a set that wasn't just like mine, and the children had a set that wasn't like either one of us. But it wasn't wrong. It was just, if we have to move, Daddy, we want this. And the Lord, I believe, gave us some scriptures that the Lord would prepare a place for us. And you know how we interpret those things? To what we like. What we want to happen. And it didn't all pan out that way. But I can tell you with confidence that the Lord made a place for us. The Lord has paved the way, and it's a blessing to us. Now, it's a blessing to us. It was shaky at the time. It says, "By faith he sojourned in a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city whose foundations, whose builder and maker is God." I believe that's a new Jerusalem we can be part of today. He was looking for that. That was what his was in his mind's eye. That's what his vision was. That's what his perspective of what God was going to do for him. When we trust the Lord for anything in our lives, The future developments temporally, the physical ailments of our body, whatever we're trusting God for, when we got our mind focused on God, and this is not mind control, by the way, or mind over matter or anything like that. But it's an utmost confidence that God has the best in mind for me. It may not be exactly what makes me feel perfect, and it may take me through a wilderness, so to speak, but it is the best for me. Don't we believe and teach in surrendering ourselves to God, making me what thou would... What does that song say? All right. What we say, we want the Lord to do whatever He wants to with our life. And then we're faced with something sometimes that looks like, Lord, I need somebody that's been here before. I need somebody that can give me some technical expertise. May the Lord help us to know how to have faith in our lives, enablement of faith. That's what's going to help me to be able to step out there. I'm glad we can be a participant of that New Jerusalem today, that city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. I'm thankful for that today. Well, it says in the 22nd verse, by faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of Israel and gave commandments concerning his bones. Now the Israelite nation was in bondage. And when you're in bondage, it looks like there's no hope. And if there's someone here this morning that's in bondage, Jesus came to set the captives free. If you're in bondage to the vices of Satan, we don't have any weekly meetings or seminars to instruct you to accept a disease and cope with it. But we do offer, with the help of the Lord, Jesus Christ. And if you can grasp the concept of believing that He is, and that He was, and He's the one that was at the creation, and He was there for you and I and died for our sins. If you can truly believe that and accept that in our mind, in your mind, in my mind, and step out on that faith, the Lord can deliver you from the bondage that you're in. And Joseph here, it says when he died, he made mention. He wasn't planning on the children of Israel staying there. And I wonder how many right there amongst the camp of the Israelites speculated about him maybe not knowing what he's talking about and thinking that this was absurd and this was life of drudgery and they were never going to get out. But Joseph's vision was on something else. And it happened. It happened. And I know what it's like to be 16 or 17 or 18 years old, and looks like the future's out there, and the world is saying, come on, I got everything to offer you. And it's enticing, and it's tempting, and it looks promising. And there's people that's going to pat you on the back, and there's people that's going to encourage you to make the best use of the mind and the abilities that you have. I want to tell you, if you can get to the place that you can really have faith and confidence in the Lord and trust Him, I'm not trying in the least to diminish the Scripture that tells you to do whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. I believe that with all my heart. But I'm going to tell you, in your pursuit of doing whatever's in front of your face with all your might, we've got to have my mind's eye on the Lord. I want to be pleasing to Him. I want what I'm doing to ultimately bring glory to God.
Amen.
I want to tell you from experience that the Lord will come through for you. The Lord will cause you to be satisfied, to be happy, to be contented, to be have a good reputation in the neighborhood. People will look up to you. Your family will love you. Your children will admire you. What else do you want? What else do you want? You'll even have enough money and a house to live in and a car to drive around. The Lord will help you with that. I'm going to tell you, one of my greatest fears in life is to deny the Lord and try to paddle my boat by myself. It's worked out so good having faith and confidence in the Lord that I'm afraid to try anything else. And I trust you can have that testimony too. Now, if you can read between the lines, that doesn't mean everything's been rosy. My wife and I are normal. I don't always do what she wants me to do, and she don't always do what I want her to do. We've had sick children. We face death with a child. The Lord seemed fit to take one. But we faced other close calls where we felt like we were stepping out on thin air. And the Lord has miraculously come through for our children. We face those kind of things. We face decisions. We face choices that other people would say, that's crazy. Why would you forfeit a cruise to the Bahamas? And it don't cost you anything. And it's a reward. Why would you forfeit that? It's because I believe God has something better for me. Why would you do the things that you do? Why don't you have this or that or something else in your home or in your lives? It's because I want the Lord. My confidence is in Him. It says without faith it's going to be impossible for me to please the Lord. You know, I want to be able to leave a testimony in other people's minds that the Lord really blessed them. Not for any selfish gain or any motivation, but I want it to be a witness and a testimony that having faith in God is a reality. And it will see you through the tough times. I know there's afflictions. I know there's tough times. I know there's loss of jobs. I know there's loss of material goods. I know there's people that say they don't like you and they don't approve of you and tell you they think you're making a mistake. I know all of that is out there. But our forefathers faced it too. Abraham, can you imagine what Abraham's family said to him? Abraham, we got land, we've got cattle, you got your family here. That's the most absurd thing I've ever heard of. Take off out there, we don't even know where you'll be. But he did it, and the Lord blessed him.
Amen.
Look down here towards the end of the chapter. It says in the 32nd verse, what shall we say more? For the times would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, of David and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises. You know, when we hear people's testimonies of what the Lord has done for them, that causes me to be encouraged. That's more proof that the Lord's still in the land of the living and He's still working for His people. It increases my faith.
Yes.
It does. But sometimes It's so easy for us when we've got victories to diminish the fears and the apprehensions and the things that, oh, I hope I'm making the right choice here. I wonder what my family's going to think, or I wonder what the congregation's going to say, or I wonder what they'll think of me on the job, or all of those things that go through our minds. And the reality sometimes when we're looking at the impossibility from a human perspective of what we're facing, whether it be disease or whether it be the impossibility of the Lord causing something material and tangible to work out in our lives, we can be faced with obstacles that looks like is completely insurmountable. And a lot of you have been there. And wrestling with the idea of, I'm stepping out, I believe God will do it, I believe God will provide the funds, I believe God will work on somebody's heart, I believe the Lord will change the tone, the atmosphere. And we step out on faith. And then after the Lord really brings deliverance and works things out in our lives, and we should thank the Lord, I believe in that. And when we praise the Lord for that, it's easy for us to kind of diminish that beginning stage. That stepping out looked like we was going to get our foot wet. But I want to challenge us. I know some of us probably right here tonight or this morning. I know some of us are right here in this assembly and are very apprehensive of what tomorrow holds and what next year holds. And what maybe going back to school holds in the fall. And maybe what might be out there if I go on to college, or I choose not to go to college. Or that step of, I wonder what the future holds. Will I be single all my life? You know, some of us have to grapple with that. But when we step out in confidence, I'm not going to take this matter in my own hands. Young men and young ladies, I don't want to get off on a tangent, but I want to tell you, there's a real pull in the world to lower your expectations of godliness in a future spouse so I can be married. Have some faith. I know this looks like you're stepping out in the river. I know it looks like maybe that you're stepping out on thin air. Someone else can elaborate on that. But I want to tell you, if you will put God for, if you will truly get a perspective of God and faith and confidence and trust in Him, and leave the future, leave the things that looks fearful, that looks obscure, that looks vague, that looks like it's going to overwhelm me, that looks like it's a life of sadness and disappointment and unfulfillment that's out there. If we can get our perspective on God and faith and step out on it, I believe the Lord will bring fulfillment, satisfaction, contentment, all those things into our life. But it says here that time would fail the writer here to write all about that. In the 34th verse, he's talking about some of the things that happened. Well, 33rd verse, we'll read that again. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. What would it be like to be facing a lion's den just because you prayed? What would it be like? There's a record of a man in the Bible. His name was Daniel. We all know that story. But he had to have faith in God. Amen. Lord, if it takes me, I cannot. I'm afraid not to bow in prayer. Yeah. Remember what I said a while ago? The Lord has worked too many good things out for those in the past and for me to lay it down and say, there's nothing to it. Is there's been too much confirmation of His promises and His Word and His blessings in my life to just throw it out the window. Amen. And that's where Daniel was at.
I believe in his own mind, he may have said, well, this may very well be the end, but I'm afraid not to pray. I'm afraid not to please God. I'm afraid not to step out in faith. And when he stepped out in faith, what do we read about? The lion's mouth being shut. We didn't see the anguish of his heart. We didn't see the tears running down his face. And the commitment, the level of commitment he made to God that last time he prayed. We don't see that, do we? I hope you think about it today. But he stepped out in faith. And the Lord closed the lion's mouths. And some of you here today may have seen lion's mouths closed. Maybe not literally. But things that looked like was going to consume you and eat you up. He says they quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. They don't sound like the path we want. It says they were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection, a better resurrection. That's the resurrection where they say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. There's another resurrection, or it happens at the same time, I believe. But there's a different message. It says something like, get thee hence. Depart from me. I want the better resurrection. I want God to put his stamp of approval on my life. And I want him to be able to put it on your life. I told the young people the other evening, they have an opportunity to do something nobody else has ever done. And we do too. Every one of us can go to heaven. Every one of us can. We know that his arm is not shortened. We know that he's able to deliver and to save us and to keep us to the end. We can set a record. Everybody that's here, we can set a record. We can be the only congregation like this that none of us go out into eternity lost. But we're going to have to have faith. We're going to believe. We're going to have our confidence in God so settled, so rooted, that irregardless of what comes in my life, I'm committing myself in God's hands and God's keeping. Well, maybe I won't read all this, but I'll skip down to the 39th verse. It says, and these all have obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Yes, that was back before Jesus came.
Yeah.
That he's talking about. At least some of them were. Remember the scripture we started with, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. I trust maybe with the help of the Lord, we've been able to challenge you. I hope you see a little better that faith is not just toughening up. Faith is not just biting your lip. Faith is not just setting your teeth. It's not digging in your heels. Although others may look on and say that's all you're doing. Faith is looking beyond the circumstances and knowing that God is able to bring me through whatever it is. You pray for me. I want to get a good report.